Welcome to Man Talk, a ministry sponsored by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where we're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and to point men to their God-assigned roles. Now here's your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr. This is another episode of Man Talk, and we'd like to welcome you to the broadcast. And so, Roy, what's on your mind today?
Well, it's we heard a lot in the news lately about prescription costs. So let's talk a little bit about that. I think it's important for our listeners to have opportunity to save money and for to understand that we've got about what's going on in the current economy. So let's want to talk a little bit about where the best to find the cheapest prescriptions for our listeners.
Well, you know, prescription prices are, you know, the pharmaceutical company makes up a great deal of what they come out with, but they also want to charge for like formulations and mm-hmm. the complexity. So I think if a prescription medication is a higher cost to make, depending on the complexity of the reactions that they have to do and things like that, that's where the cost comes in, because they mm-hmm. build all that back in the price. That's why you initially, if you recall, some of these drugs that they came out with for like AIDS treatment and right. things like that, mm-hmm. They were unaffordable. They were like one injection was like $700-$800.
Yeah,
you know. And so over the course of time, however, you know, you get all the manufacturing companies, they discover what these prescriptions and ingredients are, and then they go out and make them themselves.
Yeah, you're right. The formulation cost has to be factored back into initial sale, and I think that's why it's good that the government provides patent protection on a lot of these things for the first initial several years to recover those costs. And then as other folks, you know, use their recipe and get the data access rights and that sort of thing, so they can use what's already been researched as their own formulation basis. Then costs obviously start to come down, but oftentimes we'll see that things are held up. Basically, the umbrella keeps the prices up. And that's what's good about these mail order companies. Many of them are starting to provide other options for the consumers that they don't necessarily have to go to the pharmacy. They've got some options where they can go to a Costco if they're looking for options within, or Walmart or whomever. But this mail order opportunity presents some really favorable costing for the consumers.
And so what's some of the details involving mail order?
Well, like, for instance, you know, we'll jump to the one that everybody's familiar with, is Amazon.com has a pharmacy set up as well. So they got Atorvastatin, which is one of the common cholesterol drugs, right? It currently sells for $14.60 on their website. Costco.com's $13.99. CostPlusDrugs.com is $3.90. GeniusRx.com is $4.50. HealthWarehouse.com is $9.90. HoneybeeHealth.com is $3. RO.co/pharmacy is $9.90. And ScriptCo.com is 54 cents, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Obviously, it's probably a loss leader to get people to come in, because that's such a common cholesterol drug. So,
well, you know, and then a lot of these pharmaceutical companies, they use the data from other, they basically buy that data from other companies,
right,
you know, to get their products registered and pull it through. But, you know, you probably want to look into some things like exactly what the raw ingredients are, because you could be buying a lower level raw ingredient, even though it's passing the specification. You could get into a situation to where, you know, you could get yourself in trouble with respect to where that raw ingredient comes from, you know. And again, all these things are supposed to be tested, but if
right.
they're coming in at the very low end of the spectrum, then you have to ask yourself the question, they're barely getting in there. And typically, pharmaceutical companies, they try to hit for at least the mid-range or above,
right,
you know, whatever specification the government might, ask them to be at in order for the drug to be registered.
Yeah, that's a good point, Will. I think if you look at the active ingredients and then what the inerts are and so forth on a particular recipe, then and compare label to label. So with the Food and Drug Administration being involved, there has to be a certain standard that's met, right? So there will be people that may be using lower quality, or if it could be a China main ingredient versus a domestic produced main ingredient for the particular medicines. And that hence could drive the cost down, and it could be a quality issue if you're not careful. And I think that would be where you'd look for online reviews, because people have shopped these other pharmacies out. They could say, yeah, great quality, no issues, or maybe there are some issues that have popped up using some of these pharmacies.
And of course, you have to be careful with the reviews as well, because what you get into is you get into a situation to where there are people who putting reviews out there which are not true. So, you know, they and some of these individuals might be working for the company in which the drug is being produced. So you just have to do your due diligence when it comes to research and looking up the various things, because, you know, if you go off in the review, which I have at time when I buy something off Amazon, and then I find out that, you know, there were 10 reviews that I read that were above a margin, but then you had that one or two which said, don't buy this particular product.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I get it based on the 8 or 9 reviews that I read, and then I get it home, and then I find out, well, those one or two reviews that were on the lower level there were more true than the 2 or 10 reviews that I read earlier.
Right. Well, one of the things I didn't mention as we started, Will, was the source of this information was out of Consumer Reports, which is an unbiased group.
And that's a
they
good
basically
review.
are out said, look, these are the things we've checked. This is, so from a pricing standpoint, it seems to be that they've done their work. And I need to check and flip back through. As you're probably hearing me roll the pages, but and look and see if there was some other data as well within the article. But it's a great start to the conversation.
Absolutely.
Because we're in the middle of a high-cost environment. You know, the cost for everything is going up. Groceries going up. Prescriptions going up. Gas is going up. Everyone's looking for any possible way to save money. So this is just one opportunity. Not everybody's got prescriptions in their house, which can be a little bit frustrating sometimes when we listen to the current administration. They want to help all Americans, and one of the things they tout is reducing drug costs. Well, not everybody's using drugs, you know, in terms of prescriptions. So, but this is one way if you are indeed on prescriptions and have high cost of medicines each month, especially for those that are on fixed income. Great, great way to look to save some money.
Absolutely. And we know, you know, God can work through medications, you know, we're living in this time, in our time. And so all kinds of miraculous healing, although it does take place, God works through different means. If you look at for example, the healings that Jesus performed, you know, he didn't heal everybody the same way. In one instance, he spit on the ground. He put clay in a man's eyes.
Right.
And then he asked him, you know, what do you see? And then he asked another man who was blind from birth, and the man, he touched him, and the man said, well, I see men as trees walking. And then Jesus touched his eyes again. So he did it twice. He didn't just do it one time. Although that first time, you
started.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, so we can see just by this, and I mean, the man at the Pool of Siloam is another example. You know, here he is sitting down there, and Jesus asked him, and he said, well, you know, I'd love to be healed, but every time the angel come down and stir the water, somebody gets in front of me, you know, and gets into the pool. So, and I mention this is because, you know, we have folks out there who say, well, I don't need medications and things like this, but I say that God can work through any and every means that's available. And he's not limited. We put limitations on God, on what we do. And I know of cases, Roy, where there's individuals who were on medication, stopped medications, and passed away as a result.
Mm.
So I think, you know, we need to have an overall understanding picture that, number one, God is not limited. And number two, if we as God's people understand the method in which Jesus healed. Another instance, for example, the centurion, you know, son, he was sick and unto death. And he told him, he said, well, your son's going to be healed. But as he was walking, the centurion was walking to his house. All of a sudden he said to the servants came out, your son is healed. Your son is healed. And the servant said, well, what time was it basically? And they told him the time, and he remembered that was the exact moment in which Jesus said, your son was healed.
Mm.
So,
amen.
You know, it's just a blessing in which God is able to do things by all kinds of methodologies. He's not limited. We are the ones who put limitations on God.
Yeah, that's a great illustration, Will, that it does go beyond God. Sometimes he does use medicine. Sometimes it's his healing. And I think people need to be mindful of that. We've always said that God's given some people some great talents out there in terms of doctors and development scientists who've come up some great medicines to help the whole healing process. So great illustration. Folks, we're getting ready to take a break. Just want to give you a quick an update on our next breakfast coming up July 15th at 6:30 a.m. We'll be at our host site, FCC First Christian Church in Kernersville, North Carolina. Breakfast starts at 6:30. Got a speaker coming in this Friday that's going to speak about Albania. He's been a pastor there for 14 years and continues to serve God and just looking to reach other people. Hope you can join us, and we'll be right back here in just a few moments.
Okay, and so we're back now from our break, and we just like to thank God, and we hope that if you're in the area of High Point, Winston-Salem, Kernersville, that you can stop by and listen to this fantastic, powerful speaker who is doing a great work for the Lord.
And, amen.
You know, it's just a blessing, I think, all around when you have a person who was in an environment that was very hostile, mind you, and then able to become born again. And in, I think you said, Roy, that he grew up in that Muslim environment.
He did, yes.
So, you know, that in it of itself, I think, put him in probably a tumultuous position, you know, as a believer.
Yes.
And individuals, of course, sought him out. But, you know, God is able to do all things and keep all things according to his will.
Amen.
Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry would like to invite you to our monthly men's breakfast, held every first, third, and fifth Friday of each month. You enjoy fun fellowship in the Word of God as we break bread together. The meetings are held at First Christian Church, 1130 North Main Street, Kernersville, North Carolina. We start promptly at 6:30 a.m. and have a hard stop at 8 o'clock a.m. Come join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr.
Well, Will, let's move on to the next topic. You know, we've had a lot going on, and I think we haven't spoke a lot about the Roe versus Wade. I think we were getting ready to start into that here a few weeks ago, and let's talk a little bit about that. I think it's something that our listeners are certainly very interested in, and it's very polarizing for some folks in the country. As you and I have talked about many times on the show, that we need to be vocal, and even in our men's groups, that we need to take a stand against abortion. And, you know, Will, one of the things that I've heard so often is, what about the rape and what about the incest as it relates to abortion? And, you know, we understand the normal, and this is within amongst believers, right, that they say, well, we understand we should eliminate abortion, but what about those cases of rape or incest or major birth defects? And, you know, we know that by statistically speaking, out of the 63 million or so abortions that's occurred over the last 50 years, roughly, just it'll be 50 years, I think, next year, it was 73 when it was first enacted, that less than 1%, it's like 0.007%, I think, are rapes, and 0.006%, 6.2%, given ballpark numbers here, are from due to incest, those proportions of abortions that are performed. So, Will, what as a pastor and a leader of people and just certainly a follower of Christ, on your heart, how would you speak to the listener out there that says, kind of on the fence, if you will, that they understand it's wrong, shouldn't be doing it, but yet they're kind of leaning towards this exception that, well, you know, we really need to cover the exceptions. And how do you speak to that?
Well, I think anytime when you have a situation where an individual was raped or, you know, have some incest involved within, you know, an interaction between two people like that, and the individual conceives with a child, that is a horrible, horrible, horrible act, number one. And no one, absolutely no one, deserves to be their body to be invaded like that in any manner.
Agree totally.
If it's not consensual. But I would ask that person who come to the point of ready to abort or thinking about aborting that child, does the child deserve this?
Right.
Does the child deserve this? Even though it was a horrible, horrible, horrible act, there is life inside you. So you're making a choice for life that's in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to this, Roy, when I speak about counsel some women who may have, you know, thinking about doing things like this. And I asked them, I said, you know, there are so many women in this country who are unable to conceive.
Yes.
And they would love to love that child. And in fact, there are organizations who actually will pay for that woman to carry that baby full term and then give it up to adoption to a family who would love that child.
Yep. Cover all medical expenses.
Absolutely.
Then they give a stipend, if you will, to the young lady to get on a fresh start to try to help her get through the process. And that's a good response, Will. I think if I may build on top of that, one thing that comes to mind when you speak with any person years down the road that's had to make that decision about abortion, and again, please take it, we're not being judgmental if you've been in that situation and you've had to make a decision. We're talking about a holistic approach to our society that says it's okay, and we know that it's not. So again, we're not being judgmental if you've had to make a decision, because God can help you through that. But one of the things that comes to mind, Will, is that if a person has been raped, that's a wound, a very, very deep wound on a lady, right? Extremely deep, and only God can help heal that. The second thing is, at some point down the road, they're going to come up with if they choose to have an abortion, the second wound is going to come from that abortion. It may not be in the moment of the abortion. It may not be in the month of the abortion. It may not be a year down the road. But at some point, it's going to come back to their consciousness that, oh my goodness, I've aborted a child. The child didn't do this. And then there's another wound that the person has to deal with, because there's just no way around that. When it surfaces, only God knows. But it will come back. So that's my thinking, is that part of the healing process, I would hope that God would show and hope that folks would seek God out in that event that they've been raped to say, Father, what is it and how can I get through this? But let's provide a child to another family. Let's not create a second wound. You know, they've already dealt with the wound itself in terms of the rape. And then so getting through that, and if they can just say, okay, it's going to be a 9-month deal if we end up with a baby, they've got a 9-month journey. Then they go out and they try to put that child in someone's care that will take and raise that child. And that would be a really good thing for them to explore. And I know with these agencies now, there should be more and more opportunities now that the Roe v. Wade has been overturned for states to start, you know, governing whether or not abortion is going to be legal or not. And then for other entities like churches, the ones that are dealing with adoption of children, independent agencies should start springing up to help place these children. Because that's been one of the arguments for many, many years from the pro-abortion folks is, okay, you know, what do you care about them while they're in the womb, but who's going to care for them when you once they're born, right? So how are they going to be cared for? You're just going to leave them on the doorsteps. Who's going to pick it up and run with it?
And I think that's when the organizations and doing your due diligence comes in, Roy, because there's so many avenues that a person can take if they find themselves in that situation.
Right.
You know, so many churches, so many organizations that's out there. And I think for the most part, that's the first option they come to is, what repercussions am I going to get as a result of this child that maybe my mother, father, you know, don't know about?
Right.
What are they going to think about me? What are my friends going to think about me? You know, so they keep it a secret as long as they can, and then they secretly go and get the abortion.
Right.
So I think for the most part, it's the repercussions, how people will view them, you know, futuristically or going forward. And then how is my close friends going to view me? You know, so peer pressure has a lot, I think, to do with a lot of decisions that are made when it mm-hmm. comes to this. So, you know, as believers in Christ, we have a responsibility, you know, to life.
Yes.
And as that responsibility is given to us, as God has given it to us to give to others, then we speak the word of God. And we speak the word of God only. Mm-hmm. And seeing when you do that, it takes away any opinion that you might have in reference
That's
to
right.
things.
So right.
if you speak the word of God only when it comes to situations like that, then and if a person get upset, then they have to deal with the word of God and not necessarily you.
That's all the time we have for this episode. Join us next week when we will pick up the conversation in progress. As we conclude today's show, TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, are building a community of men to be servant leaders in their home, communities, churches, and work environment. Check us out at our website for upcoming events and regular scheduled meetings. Don't forget to send us an email for topics that you would like us to visit in the future. Thank you for joining us today on Man Talk. Visit us at TAWCMM.com.